Thanks, Ed. It's good to see you, brother. Ozella, it's good seeing you. Boy, it's really good to be back this morning with my Fairfax family. I have missed you. Some of you may not have missed me, but I can tell you, I have missed you, and it's really good to see you this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, yes, I used to be a member here at Fairfax, and in my heart, I still am. This is my forever family, and it will never change, but it's really good to see you. I actually think, Lori, this may be the place where we were members the longest in our adult life, at least up until this point, right? 15 years here at Fairfax, and loved every minute of it. And this morning, we're going to talk about some things that I think will help us, right, as a family together. If you haven't noticed the theme, thank you, Mark. It was great comments for our communion time this morning. Thank you, Phil, and the songs. Thank you, praise team. It was beautiful. But we're going to talk about how we support each other in our life, which is what we are. We're a community of believers, right, who support each other no matter what's going in our life. So here's the thing. We do pretty good at celebrating certain things like the birth of a baby or, you know, the age or when they change or some things. And we do good at celebrating the life of someone. We do good at some of those things, but we don't always do great at some of those other things, right? And maybe that's because we don't talk about it a lot. But we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. So I'm going to set this one right here because it's making me nervous. And get my Bible here. And but before we get started this morning, I want to say a prayer about just for our time in thought, in God's Word, and in sharing this morning. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, be with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we may have things running through our mind right now that need to be stilled. May your Holy Spirit still us for a moment. Heavenly Father, we may have things that are weighing on us. May the Spirit lift those. Heavenly Father, we may feel a moment where we just need to praise you. May the Spirit give us the words. Heavenly Father, while we share, while I try to share this message, may you guide my words. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you don't know me, my name is David Palmer. I did spend a few years here. I was an elder here for a few years. And it is really great to be back with you this morning. So I'm going to share a few thoughts with you this morning. When I talked with Rob and he asked me if I would mind sharing some thoughts on what it means to be a recovery-minded church. So some of you may know that I was part of the starting Celebrate Recovery here, and we journeyed together for a while, and it was a wonderful time. And, you know, in that last song, I was reminiscing because I saw something about, you know, we dreamed together. Well, we had a dream. We all have dreams, right? Our dream was move back to the farm and build a house. That was a nightmare. No, it really wasn't. It felt like a nightmare. It felt like an ultra marathon. Do I have any people in here who are ultra marathon runners? Right? More than 26 miles. Whew. That's what it felt like. So, but anyway, we dream together, and sometimes we don't know how to share those dreams or how to work through those dreams as a family. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And I want to give you just a few examples. Because I'm one of those guys that sometimes needs an example. I love God's Word. I can read God's Word. I can understand God's Word. But when you give me an example, how it's practical, how I can put that to work in my life, Wow, then they connect. They connect for me. And I'm going to try to share that with you this morning. Hey, I recently heard a podcast. And the minister on this podcast, they were talking about the key things it takes to be a Christian, right? What is critical? What are the things that are critical? What are the things that we must do as a family, as a community of Christians? He was talking about that, and he used this example that just I just had to share it this morning. He said, one night I was out with some friends, and there was live music at the venue that we're at. We're having dinner and all this other stuff, and all of a sudden, the guitarist starts playing my favorite song. Like, to him, the best song ever, right? So, and he really did, just like, man, it was really, really good. So you're probably sitting there right now thinking, what is my favorite song? What's my favorite song, right? What's your favorite group? Maybe that's just a broader piece. You know, what's your favorite? But you have, you know, there's that guy. When this song comes on the radio, it's like, woo, turn that up because I'm going to sing along, buddy. Roll the windows up because I'm going to be loud. Well, roll them down if you don't care. Like, that's me. I'm like, roll the windows down. I don't care how I sound because I'm going to blare it out. Here we go. It's your anthem song, right? So this guitarist was playing. It was really, really good. And then the vocalist came in, and they started butchering the song. I mean, it was just terrible. It was like, oh, man, it's just so bad. He wanted to get up and go, just stop. You're ruining my favorite song, my anthem song. You are ruining my song. And he pointed out that, you know, church, sometimes that's how we are. He says, we have got the greatest message, the greatest song, Jesus Christ. And we butcher it when we're trying to share it with somebody. Even sometimes we butcher it when we share it with ourselves. It's just terrible. We just like, I don't know where that came from, but that was terrible, right? And I'm just like, wow, you're right. You know, because sometimes we just don't connect the dots. Right? Or we're trying, you know, and we just can't seem to make it come across as authentic or real. And it's just, you know, all of a sudden we just get back to repeating something we've heard before. And it's like, man, how do I make this real? And I'm going to share with you a couple examples of how to make it real. Or let me rephrase that. Let me share a couple examples of how it is real in our lives. And you may not have seen that and been able to articulate it, but this is how it's real, how we support each other. So I know I've got a title, it's like the recovery-minded church, and I don't know about you, but I'm recovering from a lot of things. I know Caleb is moving, his body is sore this morning, he's recovering from that, right? You know, your back, your knees, everything aches on your body. You know, I was thinking about this, there are times when we overdo it. Have you ever overdone it? Mark, were you sore any the other day after your ride? Have you ever overdone it on something and you just get up the next, or at the end of the day, you say, boy, I'm going to pay for that. The next morning you get up and you're just like, man, I am hurting. I am hurting. You know, your body has to recover. We need times when we recover. And to recover, you have to sometimes feed your body something. Right? Maybe it's you've just been going too long and you need water or you need food or maybe you need a protein drink or something that fuels your body so it can recover. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I have to share a comment with you from a brother we're working with, Michael Harrison, who is a good friend of ours. He's become a great friend of ours down in Collinsville, Virginia, and we work with him, and he shared a comment with me, and that's actually where we're leading a Celebrate Recovery now. He shared a comment with me that has just really stuck with me, and I want you to hear that this morning. He said, Whoever shows up the most in someone's life wins the battle of influence. Whoever shows up the most, church, wins the influence. Now, that might be your own kids. It might be your neighbor. It might be anyone that you, it could be somebody at work, but whoever shows up the most wins the battle of influence. He also reminded me of something else. He reminded me of this. We are called to demonstrate God's love to our community. This should sound familiar here, Fairfax family. And beyond, through acts of kindness, to earn the right to tell them about the most important thing in the world, and that's Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about that. We do what we do to earn the right to share Jesus Christ, right? Because things have changed, right? I can't always trust and believe everything I hear, but I know that if we work hard enough and we earn the right, if we journey beside people in their lives, then we earn the right to tell them about who changed our life, who made our life different. And we earn that right when we do that. So I was recently out in at the Celebrate Recovery Summit out in California. And I heard this incredible speaker. Her name is Hosanna Wong. Some of you may have heard of her, but she does what's spoken word. She's got a couple great books out. But she said this comment that really stuck with me. The enemy of our soul does not want us to live as God has called us to be. The enemy of our soul does not want us to live as God has called us to be. So we know that we're called to be light to the world. But the enemy of our soul does not want that light to shine into the darkness. Or if it does shine, it doesn't want to shine everywhere. It just wants it to shine a little bit, not a lot. I don't want you to be a beacon on the hill. I just want you to be just a little flickering light that every now and then just goes off. And I think that's something that we in the church as a community need to understand. As we practice what we preach, as we live together, as we work through those things, right? You have the opportunity with your family, with your church family, with your friends to share those things. And how do you do that? So I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning, and I'm going to apply it to what I call a recovery-minded church. So I'm going to throw a few things up. If you can give me that next slide. This shouldn't look strange to you, because this is what every church should be about, right? This is what we should be about, church family, right? We should be about getting into God's word, and we should be about looking forward. I can't focus on the past. Yesterday is gone. All I have is today, and Lord willing, I'll have tomorrow. But we look forward. We want accountability and responsibility. Don't believe the saying that people don't. We do. I want you to hold me accountable. I want responsibility. I want to grow in those things. We want that, right? We emphasize the spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ. Am I being a good disciple? Am I growing in my walk with Jesus Christ? Are we real? Are we building a biblical principle of real community? What does real community look like? And this is something I believe that's really important today, because a lot of people like to talk about community. We're the ones who need to live it and show it, right? We, the church, can live and show it. That's what a recovery-minded church does, is they're just like, I am real. I'm being real. This is David Palmer real, right? Uncut, right? This is what I'm like. This is who I am, right? When we live that as a Christian, and we demonstrate that to other people, I don't have to put on any kind of show. This is who I am. I am authentic in my relationships, and I will be authentic with you. Recognizing that life's habits and hurts and hangups happen. So what do you mean by that? To me, this is what this means. Life is going to scuff you up. Things are going to blindside you. You're going to be surprised. You're going to be upset. It's not all rosy. You know, Lori and I just celebrated 35 years of marriage, right? It was awesome, right? But sometimes those years weren't great. Sometimes those days are not great. Sometimes you get hurt. You hurt people. Being real in that community is what a recovery-minded church is all about. Knowing that things are going to happen. Don't put on your blinders. It's going to happen. How do you get through those times is the critical part. You know, because we get crushed under the weight of the world. Mark, you're right. There are things sometimes that happen, speaks to my mind. I'm going to tell you what, you know, when I was a young man, I battled a lot of what I call demons speaking into my mind. I was not good enough, not smart enough, right? I had those things, and somehow it wasn't necessary. I didn't hear that from my mom and dad. I mean, my mom and dad were great about encouraging me as a young man. But man, those voices were in there, and I fought those things. I mean, even today, I fight those things. Now, the battles are not gone. Yeah, it's funny. I would tell teens that peer pressure is nothing when you're a teen. Wait till you're an adult, especially a young adult. Man, peer pressure, it gets tougher. It doesn't get easier, right? But that's what we deal with. In a recovery-minded church, we know that that is life, and we work on that. And then we focus on spiritual growth and serving others. You know why? Because the more I serve you, the more I can share with you what's going on in my life. So let me give you an example. Your Facebook page, it's okay to share Jesus on your Facebook page and how he has changed your life. Matter of fact, you should. I think if we could just flood that, any social media, we can flood it with how Jesus is changing my life. The message might get to somebody that needs to hear it, that doesn't believe that life is worth living. Doesn't have lost faith in the human, you know, just humanity. We need to, you don't know how important that message could be. It can change someone's life. That's what a recovery-minded church is like. It is focused on all those things, and it's walking it with someone else. Let me have the next slide. So, I'm going to share with you a couple things. I know you guys have been going through this sermon on Who's Your One, this series. And I'm going to point out a couple things that I think are really important within that. So let's look at this real quick. Before we look at the lost sheep in Luke here, I want to point out two things. We need to remember what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 12 through 17. I specifically want to focus on verse 15. Jesus is a trustworthy saying to everyone should accept it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I, Paul, am the worst of them all. Paul said that. He also goes over, and as he's talking with encouraging Timothy in chapter 2, he says this: I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. This is good and pleasing and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That recovery-minded church is all about two things. Everyone to be saved, to be aware of Jesus Christ, and praying and interceding in prayer for them. So I ask you, prayer warriors, are you doing that for everyone in your circle? Because that's what it's about. How do I, when I can't reach out and touch them, how do I influence them? We must have a heart for all the lost, because we know what it's like to be lost. We are very aware of what it's like to be lost. So as we look through, we can look at these examples this morning. I know you guys focused on the lost sheep, but we are aware of what it's like to struggle. We are aware of what it's like to lose something, to be lost. We are fully aware of what it means to struggle with something. We have seen it not just in our families, in our friends, but we are fully aware that there are struggles that go on in life that we deal with, and how we deal with it might need to be shared with other people. And I mentioned earlier, we're great at celebrating. We need to learn how to be better at joining before the celebration. And that's what I want to look at. Here's a couple examples, right? As we look at Luke chapter 15, this is verses, 1 through 7. When we talk about the lost sheep, and I know you guys spent time on that, right? God wants us to join him in the mission of bringing back the lost sheep. So, have you ever been around, at home? I lost something and I can't find it, right? Honey, can you help me find this? I cannot figure out where I placed this. And you spend a lot of time scurrying around and finding that. A real church community will come together to help search for what is lost. Now, here's what I love about this. And in verse 5, where it talks about, when he found it, the lost sheep, he put it on his shoulders and he rejoiced. Church, what we need to be is we need to be the ones who are out there searching, joining in the mission of finding that lost sheep. Now, you may have done that. You may have been one of those family members or friends of someone who has lost something very important, and you have been alongside them and you've journeyed with them to find what they have lost. It is so important to journey alongside people during that time, because here's what happens, right? When you hit the rejoicing, when you find it, you are right there beside them to give them a high five, say, yes, we found what we lost. We have found what we lost. We come together and we celebrate because what has been lost has been found. And real community will celebrate when something is returned that has been lost. We celebrate together. And we know what that's like. You have been through that at your own family, right? When someone beats a disease, when someone struggles with something and they overcome it, when you see them coming through that moment and you're like, yes, I have made it through the waters, and we are there with them during that time. That is what a recovery-minded church looks like. We want to be there to celebrate. We want to be there to share in the joy of someone or something that has been lost and has been found. And in verse 7 it tells us, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Celebrating what has been lost when it's been found. That's what we do. The second example, let's look at this. In Luke chapter 15, it's the prodigal son. God wants us to join in the mission of bringing back the prodigal son. So when you think about what's lost and been found, when we think about what this particular very close example of a son who was lost. You know, the interesting part in this one is we don't see how long the son was lost. We just know he departed. He went away. So the question is, church, are we alongside that father during this time praying together with that father for that lost son? Do we go alongside? Do we hold him up on the days when he can't bear the weight of the fact that this son is gone? Do we come alongside and lift him up? Are we the ones who say, hey, I know you're struggling right now. Let me help you through this struggle. Because we're faced with all these opportunities in life. You know, God brings us those things. We can search and we can seek and we can help. But you got family and friends through your community that you need to be pulling alongside them and saying, let me help you through this difficult time. Let me be the one who says, hey, Dad, I know it's hard. You know, I've seen this before. You know, I know the struggle is real. My parents went through health issues. I know how hard that is. Let me walk alongside you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let me encourage you through this time. I have seen those prodigal sons who have been away, who have come back, and let me journey with you during this time. The interesting thing I find about this prodigal son, right, is when the son comes back, the father commands the servants, hey, let's bring everything together. Let's get a robe and put it on him. Let's bring the ring, the shoes for his feet, kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate the return. Church family, we need to journey with people so when we have the celebration, we're the ones at the table celebrating. It doesn't tell us who was there when they begin the celebration. But what I will tell you is it's the people who were so close that journeyed with the father while the prodigal son was lost who said, I am here for you. I am close to you. If you need anything, I'm there. Because at that point, when the celebration happens, we're at the table. Isn't it amazing to be there when someone celebrates the return? That's what the church is about. We should be a community that grows so close to each other that we are there to celebrate when that returns. When that moment happens, we can celebrate together. So let me give you one other example. In John chapter 15, I know we all probably are all familiar with John 15, right? This is the vine and the branches. Right? And it really connects with me because God wants us to stay connected to the true vine. The only way I can be there for people when they're going through these times of losing something and finding it or the prodigal that's gone and the returns is if I'm connected to Christ, our true vine. So, church, there's something I see in this that I want to talk to you about this morning. And I know we talk about remain in me and I will remain in you, right? For the branches cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and it cannot be fruitful unless it remains in me. So yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Do you notice anything about these grapevines, the vine? I want to call your attention to something this morning in here. Because this is something that has really been on my mind a lot. These are some really cool grapes. This other vineyard here, it looks like it's new, it's young, it's coming along. But do you notice the wires that are run across there? One of the things I think about is when you think about the fruit, these grapes, there are times in this where the grapes can be so strong that if they don't have a trellis to support them, it will break the vine. And I think there's something in there for us, church. Here's what I think that is. We need to join in the mission of being a trellis for people around us. You know, as parents, you're probably a trellis for your kids, right? You're there. If a piece of the vine breaks, right, you mend it up and you put it on top of the trellis. Do we have any gardeners out here? Gardeners? Man, cucumbers are a great example of this, right? A cucumber can get really nice. But you know what it can also do? It can pull that vine all the way to the ground. So you put it up on a trellis, right? So it's got room to grow and not lay on the ground where it could rot, but it can grow and it can produce this great fruit, tomatoes. But I look at this and I think, wow, there's an example for me here. Because as a church family, what we need is a trellis. Sometimes we're producing fruit, but the fruit is so heavy, it's weighing us down, and I need someone to hold me up. Because what might happen is I might get separated from the vine. And I need to stay connected to it. So I have to come in and I have to bandage it up and I have to put it up on the trellis so it's got a way to rest, so it can grow, so it can heal. That's us, church. Not only do we do that here, but we do that extending out of here to the communities that we're around. The people that are in your everyday life, you need to see, how can I be a trellis for them to show them Jesus Christ? How can I support them and hold them up? You know, it might be that I need to look around and say, I see somebody that's producing great fruit. Do they need a trellis? Do they need someone to hold them up, to support them? We must seek and search out those that need help, to need a trellis to hold them up or to fix them. Not fix them. That's the wrong term. Because I'm a really big in, you know, the church, we spent too much time trying to fix people. We don't need to fix people. We need to fix ourselves and let Jesus Christ do all the rest, right? The way he works in our lives is what we want to demonstrate to others. That's why when we hold people up so they can be connected back to the vine, that's what works. It's not me saying, well, you know, here's what will really work for you. It's me saying, I've been there, and this is what worked for me. Church, those are some examples this morning of what it's like to be a recovery-minded church. And I would even say that's what it's like to just be real. A real church community is looking for these things. How can I come alongside you? How can I journey with you? How can I help you? When you're hurting, how can I be a trellis to hold you up when you need it the most? Without a trellis, the branches will get weighed down. And they need support. The trellis is a structure that we need to hold us up. Now, I want to close with one last point. There's an interesting story in Exodus chapter 17. You probably know it, right? Moses, right? The Israelites, they're really complaining a lot. That's a whole nother story, whole nother sermon series. But they're complaining a lot about where they are. So Moses has to intervene. And at this point, not only are they complaining, but they're about to go in battle because the Amalekites are chasing them. And they're like, man, we're going to get these Israelites. And they're complaining because all they care about is I don't have any water and I don't have any food. Right? Well, Moses, right, has this staff. So the Israelites were complaining. They were being attacked by the Amalekites. Moses commanded Joshua, come choose some men to go out and fight. So they'll go out and fight the battles that are going on. And tomorrow I'm going to go up on the top of the hill and I'm going to hold the staff from God in my hand so we can be victorious. Well, you may know how the rest of the story goes, right? Joshua picks out, they go down, they're going to fight the Amalekites. Moses goes up on the mountain, but he carries a couple people with him, Aaron and Hur. Well, they climb to the top of the mountain. And Moses is standing there, and the staff is in his hand, and the Israelites take the advantage. But Moses gets tired, and his arms come weary. His arms start to go down. And for them to be successful, Moses needed someone to hold him up. So Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' arms so that they can be successful in the battle that they're fighting. You see, in the parable of lost sheep, someone needs to be there to support and celebrate. In the parable of the prodigal son, someone needs to be there to support and celebrate. In the vine, for there to be true fruit, great fruit, sometimes you need a support to hold you up. Now, I'll ask you today, church, as we see here, you're going to find yourself in two places in life. The first one is someone's holding up your arms so you can be victorious in the battle, or you are holding up someone else's arms so they can succeed. That is the community that we want to be. That is the place we find us today. Who are you holding up the arms of? Or who's holding up your arms? Look around and think about that for a moment. You may say, David, I'm not holding up anyone's arms. And I'm like, well, I think if you pray and you focus, God's going to show you whose arms you either need to hold up. It could be your wife. It could be your kids. It could be one of the ministers here. It could be a coworker. You need to be ready to hold up their arms so they can be victorious in whatever's happening in their lives. And as we do that, we earn the right to share with them what makes us victorious. What brings about the victory? So, I want to leave those words with you this morning. It is really good to see you guys and to be back. I can tell you there are times when you held up my arms. So I could be successful in my family. And I hope there are moments where I held up your arms so you could be successful. But that's the kind of community we need to be. A community that's looking so we can see the victory in Jesus Christ by holding up someone's arms. So this morning, you may be weary. Your arms are tired. And you need someone to lift your arms. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Or maybe, you know, you've got some people in your mind right now that you say, I've got to reach out to them, and I need to make sure I tell them that I am here for you. I will lift you up when you are weary, because I want to journey alongside of you. I want to earn the right to share Jesus Christ with you, because he has carried me, and I want you to see how he's carried me so he can carry you. That's what we're about. Let's be that kind of church that's willing to lift up those who are weary and carry that weight with them and journey beside them. So if you feel that way this morning, if you need the prayers of the church, if maybe you don't want to come down here, maybe you want to meet somebody in the back, maybe you want to grab one of the prayer warriors with the yellow lanyard, don't think that we don't want to help you. And prayer is one of the biggest pieces Maybe that's what you need. Maybe I need to say, I'm going to pray for you for the next 10 days, and every time I pray for you, I'm going to text you and let you know you do not carry that alone. Let's be that community together. Let's stand and let's sing.